afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Sistema First Half 2016 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gianluca Garbi, CEO of Banca Sistema. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everybody. I'm here today with Margherita Mappelli and Carlo Di Pierro. Let me start by saying that I'm particularly pleased with the closing of our first acquisition, Beta Steps, whose merger with the bank was approved today by our board of directors. The integration of the company into the group is already well underway, and the merger is expected by the year-end, subject to the final Bank of Italy authorization. Moving to the slide number three of the presentation, the net income is +17% on a year-on-year basis, which reached 15.7 million. These include 2.3 million gross from the sale of 15.8% stake in CS Union, which was a part of a press release that we have issued a few weeks ago, and 6.9 million gross resulting from a change in our accounting methodology for late payment interest in the factoring business, where we had moved from a fully cash basis to a partial accrual methodology. As a consequence, then I will explain a bit more of the sales of CS Union. We end up to be a minority shareholder also of Axactor, which is a Norwegian company listed in the Oslo Stock Exchange. That sales doesn't mean for us exiting from the NPL business, but indeed is a reinforcing of our view of remaining involved on the NPL, having today a European partner. As regard to the accounting methodology, what we have done, we have considered a number of factor and change that happened over the last five years, include the significant increase of the purchase of loan volume, a more systematic initiation of in-court and out-of-court recovery action of our receivable, which on average has been implemented for a bit less than 10% of our annual turnover. The loan that are in legal action at the end of the first six months of this year end up to be 21% of the total outstanding. Last but not least, is that after this period, we end up with a greater visibility and increased data and information on the time of recovery of the amounts due for both the principal and interest payment when we take legal action. From June this year, the bank has prudentially posted to interest 15% of late payment interest for invoice that have moved to the status of legal action from the ordinary collection. Based on this methodology, this 15% of accrued late payment interest, we have put in the balance sheet this amount based on the, as I said before, the 10% of turnover. If you consider on the total turnover is about 1.5% of the total, which is a far low percentage of what is used by other players in the Italian market. 1.5% being the also the number is in line with what is the cost of the funding, because 15% of the 8% late payment interest rate that is charged to those type of receivable is equal to the 1.2%, which is equal to our cost of funding. This will avoid going forward that those assets in legal action will generate negative carry. Moving to the other item, 34.6 million are the net interest income, which is 20% on a year-on-year basis, where factoring remained the main contributor, and weight the total for 88%. The return on average equity is 29%. The first half of the year has registered 16% of turnover on a year-on-year basis. The VAT turnover grew for more than 60% on a year-on-year basis. CQS and SME outstanding reached 266 million, which is under 13% growth on a year-on-year basis. Ahead of Brexit, we have also decided to reduce our T-bills portfolio from 900 million in the first quarter 2016 to 400 million as of today. Thanks to a well-diversified funding strategy, our LCR level is well above the regulatory threshold, and the core tier 1 and total capital ratio have reached respectively 14.4% and 17.3%. The acquisition of Beta Stepstone has happened as of the 1st of July 2016. Therefore, the consolidation of the Beta Stepstone is going to happen on the second half of the year. But as a reference, this consolidation will absorb 70 basis points of the core tier 1 and total capital ratio. Moving to the slide number 4, our turnover, as I mentioned before, has increased 16% compared to the first half of last year, which is a very good result in and slightly better than our main competitor in the second quarter of 2016. And we are targeting a turnover growth at year end of about 20%. The market environment in general has not, vis-a-vis, of course, I'm talking about the factoring, not the overall market environment and macroeconomics, has not changed. So the continued delay of payment and also the growth seen for other market players are both positive indications that for future growth of our business. The DSO, as we monitor by ASSO Biomedica, show that almost no change at the national level in June 2016 versus December 2015, with the delay that are running 155 days on both reporting date. As you know, at the end of 2014, we started to sign distribution agreement with commercial bank. Today we have 14 of these agreements in place with banks that have in total more than 1,100 branches in Italy. This agreement has contributed 11% of our total turnover in the first half of this year, compared to the 5% of last year for the same period. And as expected, the VAT receivable at the end of this first half of the year is 11% higher than last quarter and is growing on a year-on-year basis for more than 60%. Moving to the slide number 5, we have continued to see diversification through our ancillary businesses, and now 22% of our total loan to customer are from CDS, are from the CQS and CQP business and SME financing guaranteed by the government. This is higher than last quarter when was 17%, which was to some extent an indirect consequence of the reduction of the government position that caused a reduction of the repo in the balance sheet. For the CQS and CQP, we reached an outstanding of 181 million, and 84% of this portfolio is related to the public administration. We will continue to grow over the coming quarter. Growth here will be supported by the securitization that we have launched at the end of March this year, and which we expect to become eligible for ECB during this third quarter of the year. We are expecting to receive the rating. As soon as we get this rating, we can use that as a collateral to the ECB. Moving Now to the comment on more details on the numbers, I will hand over to Margherita that will present from slide number six.
Okay. Thank you, Gianluca. Good afternoon to all. We'll start as usual looking more in detail into the income statement, which is on slide six. As you can see, we are closing our first half of the year with a net income of 15.7 million. As mentioned, this is including the contribution deriving from the sale of our 15% stake in CS Union, which happened in June. We keep a 10% stake in the company, as previously mentioned. The 15.7 million also includes the impact of the update in the accounting methodologies on factoring LPIs, which has an impact of 6.9 million on a pre-tax basis. Based on the considerations which were previously described by Gianluca and which mainly related to the fact that we now are in the position of having more experience and more statistical information on legal collection performance, in June, we are accruing LPIs on the legally actioned part of our PA receivables at a level of 15% of the total amount due, which, as you know, equates to a rate of ECB plus 8% from the invoice due date. Previously, up to the end of March, we have been posting LPIs on the income statement on a cash basis. Looking more in detail, net interest income is up 20% year-on-year. Of course, this is including the 6.9 million mentioned previously. Of that, 4.9 relates to period prior to 2016. Net interest income is also driven by lower funding cost year-on-year and stable quarter-on-quarter, and by an improved contribution from CQS, CQP, and SME loans. The contribution of our government portfolio is contracting year-on-year, and this is a consequence of the financial market and the short duration of our government portfolio. We have registered a 61% reduction in trading income year-on-year, which is down to 0.8 million from 2 million in first half 2015. Carry trade is pretty stable and is impacting the net interest income for 0.7 million, in line with the first half of 2015. Loan loss provision is increasing, and this is a consequence of higher, more diversified business levels, in particular in first half 2016. This is reflecting improved increases in provisioning against our SME state-guaranteed loans, as well as factoring. Personnel expense reflects the headcount growth year-on-year. Differently from the first quarter 2016 and first half 2016, we have posted the yearly contribution to the National Resolution Fund of 0.6 million in the item other expense. I will move to slide number seven and have a look at the balance sheet. As you can see, total assets stand at 1.7 million at the end of June 2016, which is down from the 2.4 billion reported at the end of 2015, and also from 2.3 billion, which were reported at the end of Q1 2016. The reduction, as previously mentioned by Gianluca, is driven by our decision to downsize the government bond portfolio in Q2. The total position in Italian government bonds went down from 0.9 billion at the end of 2015, as well as at the end of Q1 2016, to 0.4 billion, and that was done in advance of the Brexit referendum, given the market uncertainty in that period. At the end of June, we had 0.4 million of Italian government bond in our available-for-sale portfolio, and the portfolio had a residual duration of 5 months. The government bond portfolio reduction has also influenced the rest of the balance sheet because it's impacting the reduction of repos of resale agreements on the asset side and those repos on the liability side. Impacting the line loans and advance to customer and driving the reduction of the due to customer from the liability side. Factoring receivables are slightly lower compared to year-end, and this is in line with our business growth and the cyclical concentration of our purchases in Q4 of each year. CQS and CQP increased, and this is due to further loan purchases. On the liability side, the due to banks is fairly stable, reflecting a decrease on our interbank funding and an increase in ECB funding. At the end of June, we accessed the TLTRO for a total of 123 million. At the same time, we are reporting lower retail funding, and this is in line with our business needs and funding diversification goals. In particular, we had more lower term deposits, and we are reporting higher current accounts. Total loan fund at the end of June, 119 million. Total capital ratio, 17.3%. CET1 at 99 million, and the CET1 ratio, 14.4%. Moving on to slide number 8. As shown on the top of the slide in the pie chart, factoring continues to remain the main contributor of our net interest income and accounts for 88% of total net interest income. We have also added a chart, as you can see from the top right of the slide, showing the evolution of the factoring average balance outstanding. And following the update of our accounting methodology in relation to LPI, we are now also showing the portion of receivables which is collected through legal processes. The average outstanding is higher in 2016 compared to 2015 as a consequence of timing and increased turnover, of which, as mentioned, 10% on average historically has been collected through legal processes. In the chart on the bottom left, we have shown the trend of our average gross yield, restated to include the LPI component at the 15% level described, and including interest and commission, from which, of course, we should deduct the cost of funding, which is shown on a different line, and which has improved from 260 basis points down to 130, as well as the other cost, more specifically the servicing cost and introducing cost, which also have decreased 120 basis points in first half 2015 down to 100 basis points in first half 2016, and this is mainly due to improved efficiency and lower unit cost on the servicing side. In the chart bottom right, we are showing that our price yield for purchase receivable over the last 12 months have seen some variability on a monthly basis, but are substantially stable. The same can be seen on the price duration of factoring receivables. Both vary pretty much based on the time of factoring on the type of factoring portfolios acquired each month and by the mix of products. Moving to slide number 9, you will see that our operating costs are up 12% year-on-year. This is including the contribution of 0.6 million to the National Resolution Fund, which was posted in Q1 2016, but we've also posted a refund of 0.3 million of the contribution to the fund, which was made back in 2014 for TERCAST. Also included in our cost base in first half 2016 are costs relating to new initiatives, of which 0.6 relate to CQS securitizations and 0.4 to M&A and advisory fee in relation to M&A transactions. Personal expense represents 45% of total operating costs, increasing from 6.5% in 2015 to 7.5% in 2016. And this is reflecting the higher number of headcount. We moved from 124 average headcount in the first half of 2015 up to 131 in June 2016. The total headcount at the end of June is 131, exactly in line with the end of December. Servicing costs account for 14% of total operating cost, and that was 22% in 2015, and are fully variable costs decreasing year on year, even if volumes are growing 16%, and this is, as mentioned, mainly driven by lower unit costs. All other costs are represented by administrative expense, depreciation and amortization, provisions for risk, and other expenses. Cost income is 44%, including, of course, the higher revenue deriving from the LPI. Now on slide number 10, looking at the funding, retail funding represents 49% of total funds. It was 42% at the end of 2015, higher than March 2016 as a consequence of the reduction of the government bond portfolio, which brought, of course, a reduction on the repo on the funding side. Retail funding covers 58% of our core business, down from 71% in 2015 and from 63% at the end of March 2016. The reduction of retail funds in the second quarter of this year is mainly driven by current accounts, which went from 353 million at the end of March 2016 down to 285 at the end of June. And this is a consequence of our funding strategy, which was implemented with the goal of increasing diversification of the funding sources, increasing the duration in line with our asset classes. As part of our funding diversification strategies, I would like to remind the CQS securitization in the first quarter 2015 for 112 million, the private placement of a two-year senior bond for 70 million in May 2016, TLTRO for 123 million in second quarter 2016, also thanks to an increase of eligible collateral at a zero cost, which is the cost that we are currently booking in the account, despite we expect a negative 40 basis points recovery at the end of the period. Time deposits decrease derives from a reduction in term deposits in Italy compared to an increase from Germany and Austria, which makes the total component of foreign deposits at the end of June up 22% of total time deposits in place. Cost of funding within the retail segment decreased from 240 basis points in first half 2015 to 160 in first half 16, in line with Q1 16. Total funding cost is also in line quarter on quarter and down compared to the end of 2015. It is now 0.9% compared to 1.2% as in 2015. Moving to slide number 11 and looking at asset quality. As usual, I would like to remind that our overall global exposure is with Italian public administrations, and as a consequence, a relevant part of our non-performing loans are related to public administration. Gross non-performing loans is increasing quarter on quarter. Net bad loan ratio is at 1.8% compared to 1.1% at the end of 2015. Bad loans increases due to a deterioration in the SME state guaranteed loans as well as in the factoring, where the position are deriving essentially from local entities which have entered into stato di dissesto, and the increase is in line with our expectations. Unlikely to pay also increases quarter on quarter due to factoring positions. The cost of risk for the first half 2015, excluding repurchase agreement, is standing at 51 basis points, pretty stable from the 50 basis points that we have reported at the end of 2015. I think this is pretty much what I wanted to cover today, and I would give the floor back to Gianluca for any final consideration before the Q&A session.
Yes, so thank you very much, Margherita, for the report. I will immediately hand over to the floor for any question.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Phil Dobbin of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Afternoon, guys. Thanks for the disclosure on the LPI and the changing methodology. I think that makes life a bit clearer. But could you just tell me what actually has been your experience of collections against your 15% recognition in the income statement?
Yeah. We are as mentioned, I mean, we have decided to adopt this new methodology based on the fact that we now have much more experience on legal collection, and we have collected data that we are able to collect 75% of on our experience on the LPIs which are due on the legal actions. This is also, of course, the total amount is deriving from various clusters that we have analyzed more in detail. Of course, we are able to collect much more, so percentages which are much higher if we go up to the end of the legal process, but well, quite often we negotiate before, and therefore, of course, we go with higher discounts. So, of course, the overall percentage is coming from various situations, and it's an average, and this is the experience that we have so far.
The next question is from Tony Deng of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Three questions from me, if I may. Firstly, could you tell us what was the late payment interest booked in the prior year period, please, in 1H15? And do you have a number for the full year guidance? My second question is the charts on slide number 8. So your monthly factoring price yield has been moving up in May and June sequentially. I guess as a function that the duration of the portfolio book is getting longer. Is this because you've been doing more VAT factoring, or is this to do with the public administration offices taking longer to pay recently? And my third question is on the retail cost of funding. So you have a chart with the two blue bubbles with the cost of term deposits. Is this the take-on rate, the 3.2 and the 2.1%?
Okay, so thank you for your question. So LPI, that the component that is related to previous year was, as mentioned before by Margherita, 4.9 million. Looking at the forward, clearly LPIs will be driven by three elements. One is how many of the asset will move to legal action. So it depends on that the base of the calculation. Second, we have the accrual on the existing one, and so the accrual on the existing one will generate about 2 million on the second half. Third, more importantly, is the collection. So the fact that we have moved from a pure cash basis on a partial cash basis, which only 15% of what is legal action, doesn't mean that we expect, in any case, to collect those late payment interest with in court. Out of the total amount, just as a reference, 25 million are part of a securitization that we have decided to start, where are those assets that are at the latest stage of the legal collection. Those assets are carry as of June 7.6 million of late payment interest, out of which only 15% is accrued. So these are the three drivers, and clearly none of these drivers are fully in our hand, because the cost, the time of the Italian justice is not necessarily in our hand, as well as how many assets we are not able to collect on the ordinary basis and need to be moved to legal action. On the page number 8, in the past, and also speaking with investors in the roadshow, we have group the DSO and so the duration and the price yield on a quarter basis, which may have give a difficulty for people to understand whether there was a clear trend or not. So what we have done here was first to provide the monthly information, which are based on the portfolio that we effectively purchase. The price, as you remember probably, is the prudential calculation based on the based not on the actual what we expect to be the collection date, but in what we conservatively expect to be the collection date. Then, of course, if we collect faster, the yield will go up. If we collect less fast, is when we need to eventually move to legal action. Now, the point here is that it really depends on which is the type of asset that our client intend to sell to us. So it could be also driven, as you suggested, because we have purchased on the specific period more VAT, but it can also be driven by the fact that we have potential maybe new client with the back book of a portfolio that have assets that are already overdue from the past. So it's really pretty much depending on which type of receivables we are going to purchase based on the client that is proposing to us those type of receivable, there's not really a trend that show that the government, at least on the asset that we are buying, is putting forward a quicker payment process or not. It really depends on what you buy, and you can have a different duration. And based on that, we have a different price yield that we price on a month at every portfolio we buy. So that is the two line is just to avoid any misunderstanding that when you group this number by quarter, it may give you a sign that project of the future, while when you simply take the same number, you split it by month, you see that it really much depends on every month what we buy. But in general, we can see that there's not really a trend, is really flat. So the situation is that we continue to buy receivable that we price pretty much with the same gross yield expected price and a similar duration. On the last question, Margherita.
Related to the cost of funding on slide number 10, that relates to the actual cost of funding of the deposits in place. The take-on rate is definitely lower, and it is 0.9 at the end of June.
In terms of the cost of funding, just to give you maybe another information on the TLTRO, we are participating for 123 million. We are accruing a cost of funding on the future at 0%, even though we know that due to our growth of portfolio, we expect that the cost of funding will be minus 40 basis points. But we are able to put 40 basis points negative only in at the first record date of 2018, and this is going to generate in the future, unless we will receive a different indication by the regulator, are going to generate a lump sum in the future of this 40 basis point saving.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from Christian Carrese of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I have a few questions. The first one is on net interest income. Is it correct to expect some improvement in the second half of the year thanks to lower cost of funding on one side, maybe additional late payment interest and an increase in the turnover? What is your guidance in terms of turnover for the full year, still plus 20, or do you see the possibility even to do better than the debt level. The second question is on the cost of risk. It was quite low in this quarter. We saw in the past some volatility. You also changed the way you classified some impaired loans maybe in the third quarter last year. So what do you expect in terms of cost of risk for the rest of the year? Is it the level we saw in the second quarter is sustainable for the future? And finally, on steps on consolidation, if you can give us an update, what do you expect by the end of the year in terms of contribution from StepStone? Thank you.
Okay, so with regard to the first question, which has to do with the net interest income for the second half of the year, of course, as mentioned, with the diversification of our funding and with the funding strategy that we have that we have put in place, we will expect to see further benefits in the second half. Of course, in the second half, we will see the full benefit of the TLTRO, which was done at the end of June, so hasn't released any benefits as of yet in the income statement. We will see that in the second half, as well as, of course, the continued reduction on the increase on the CQS securitization, because we are increasing the amount of debt as well as we purchase more receivable or more CQS receivable. So we will see further benefits on the funding side, and this is basically our expectation, as well as mentioned previously by Gianluca, we expect further growth on the factoring activity, which of course will have an impact on our income statement. As mentioned, we expect by year end to have an increase in turnover of 20% year on year, so to an improvement on that side as well. Moving to the cost of risk, I think that the level that we're seeing today is aligned with the past, and is also the level that we expect for the second half. So this is the best expectation that we can have at this stage. With regard to beta steps on integration, we know the expected contribution from beta steps, and it's approximately our expectation of 1 million of net income contributing to for the second half. Of course, we will have to bear the cost related to integration and advisory, and so we don't expect a positive effect net-net in the income statement over the second half of the year. We expect to see the benefit, as mentioned also when we announced the acquisition, only after 12 months.
When do you expect to cash in the late payment interest coming from StepStone? In which time horizon?
So their way of proceeding late payment interest is different from our way to do it. They don't negotiate. They go till the end of the process. So their average duration is a bit higher. But they are going to collect, and this is their experience in the past, almost 100% of the total. This will mean that as we purchase these only 80%, because there was on their accounting 80% that is guaranteed by an escrow account, any late payment interest will contribute to 20% plus the accrual over the period. So the duration of their portfolio is a bit longer than our duration. Unfortunately, the delay of getting to the end of the final process is, for us, to a certain extent unpredictable. We know that on average it will take 5 years to get to the payment since the start of the process of legal action due to the delay of the Italian justice, and so they have a different vintage on a portfolio that we don't have. I don't have here with me. So based on the various vintage of acquisition of their asset, you can start to see to drop some of the interest. This also applies for us because, as I mentioned, on your first question was, you expect on the second half the net interest to increase. One of the big drivers still remain the collection, because putting 15% of late payment interest is a very small portion of what we will expect to effectively collect on this residual part of our receivable that we have through legal action. And clearly, if you have a collection, you have an immediate positive effect on the P&L. We are in the end of the Italian court, which in any case is paying ECB plus 8%. So people may say that hurry up too much is not necessary in our interest. On the other hand, clearly we would like to collect in a good period of time with a good trade-off between the full amount due by the public administration and a duration that it can be shorter. So we will not accept any settlement at 50% of those receivables if we already are at the end of the process where we can size the public administration, but we may accept a settlement if we are at a very early stage of the process, because we can avoid all the process of the litigation. So that is that will remain in any case and is unavoidable, a matter of volatility of our P&L. At least with this 15%, besides being strongly confronted with the statistical information shares also with our auditors, is at least avoiding to see a negative carry of those assets that are in the legal process.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Tony Deng of Barclays. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Sorry. I just want to clarify the LPI number you gave me earlier. So the 4.9 would have been what you would have collected under the new methodology. Is that right? And I wanted to know also the actual cash LPI that you booked in last year's P&L at 1H15, please.
Okay. I start with the 4.9, which is basically the calculation that we made to see if we were adopting the same methodology at the end of 2015, how much we would have posted, and we would have posted 4.9 million. So basically, what we can say is that out of the 6.9 million that we posted in June, 4.9 is related to prior period. So if you wanted to sort of see the one-off component of it, you should adjust for the 4.9, whilst the 2 is the component which is sort of recurring.
Yeah.
Looking at the collected amount of LPIs, we can say that in the first 6 months of 2016, we have collected 1.2 million, while in full year 2015, as previously disclosed, we have collected 3 million, 2.9.
And then the 6 months to June 2015, was there anything?
6 months to June 15 was 1.9.
Great. Thank you very much.
Sorry, 0.5. Sorry, 0.5.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Garbi, Ms. Mappelli, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, so thank you very much to everybody. We will have a new call for the third quarter result in October. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.